Repentance may not be a word that we commonly use in everyday conversation, but it is a churchy word, one that we hear in the church and that we especially hear during the season of Lent. Repentance brings to mind confessing our sins, admitting how we turn from the ways of God, how we stray from God, how we stray from the ways that God would have us live. But the call to repent is not only for the season of Lent. It is, in fact, a way of life for followers of Jesus. It's not just restricted to 40 days of the year. Repentance is not about feeling unworthy. Rather, repentance is a process of acknowledging that there is no perfection this side of heaven. Only God alone is perfect. It's about being honest about our human condition. For even with our best intentions, we stumble, we stray, we drift away from God and God's ways. We sin, and through sin we become estranged from God, one another, ourselves, and the creation. Mature Christian faith calls us to be honest about our lives with God and with ourselves. To be honest about the times when we are faithful and the times we are not. And when we do sin, we are called to confess our wrongdoing to God, to repent, to make amends, to return to a restored relationship with God. In Scripture, the Greek word for repentance is metanoia. And as with many Greek words, our English translation doesn't contain the layers and depth of meaning in the original Greek. Metanoia doesn't just mean repentance, but it means something very specific. It means turning to a new way, turning around to a new direction, to going in a different direction. And it can also mean putting on a new mindset, adopting new ways of thinking. Ultimately, metanoia is about reorienting ourselves to God. Through this repentance, God draws us deeper into relationship, into holy intimacy with God. And metanoia prevents us from becoming complacent in our spiritual lives. It's the antidote to thinking we don't need to change anything, we're all set. Everything's okay because we go to church, we pray, we care for others by sharing our time, our talent, and our treasure. Metanoia prevents us from resting in the way things are. It moves us out of our established ways of thinking into fresh ways of experiencing God at work in our lives and in the world. In today's gospel, Jesus addresses complacency and resistance to understanding the new work that God is doing. Jesus has a conversation with the chief priests and the elders, and just the day before this conversation takes place, Jesus had entered into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. On that day, he's proclaimed as king by the people, which makes the religious and the political leaders very nervous. After entering the city on Palm Sunday, Jesus goes to the temple where he overturns the money changers' tables, showing that he rejects their unjust practices that prey on the poor. One day later, the conversation in today's gospel is taking place on Monday of that week, Monday of Holy Week, and Jesus is again teaching in the temple, and the authorities come up to him and they try to entrap him so they can have a way to kill him. And they do this by asking him a question, hoping he will say something that will justify arresting him. So they ask Jesus where his authority comes from. They want to know if his teaching, if his healing power comes from God, from Satan, or simply from himself. If Jesus says his authority is from God, they have grounds to arrest him for making himself equal with God. But Jesus knows what they are doing, and he answers them indirectly. Jesus first replies by asking them where John the Baptist's authority was from. Was John's authority from heaven or of human origin? The religious leaders are trapped and they see no way to answer where they won't get themselves into trouble. If they say John's authority was from God, they will appear as hypocrites for not listening to him. If they say his authority was human, the people will be angry because the people believe John is a prophet. So they answer, they don't know. Jesus says that therefore he will not answer their question, but actually he answers indirectly in the parable that he goes on to tell about two sons. In this parable, a father asks his first son to go to work in the vineyard. The son answers, no, he won't go. But later, he goes and he does the work. The second son is asked by his father also to go work, and he says he will go, but he never does. So Jesus asks, which son did the will of the father? The leaders correctly answer the first, the one who said no, but then ultimately went to work. Then Jesus tells them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. Jesus is teaching that being faithful to God is not by what we say alone, but it's also about our actions. It can be easy to say what we think are the right things so that we appear faithful and righteous. Our words, however, must bear fruit in our actions. Our words must inform how we live and what we do. The religious authorities are certain that they are righteous, that they are doing the will of God, and that they are teaching the people how to be faithful. Yet Jesus reminds them, they do not see the new work that God is doing in their midst. They rejected John the Baptist, rejected that he was a prophet of God, and soon they will reject Jesus. They will hang him on the cross. These leaders did not see and did not understand what God was doing through John the Baptist, nor do they see what Jesus is doing, how Jesus is fulfilling the work of God. But unlike these religious leaders, those who are forgotten by society, who live at the margins, the tax collectors, the sinners, they see and understand what God is doing. They accept the authority of John the Baptist and of Jesus. They know they are of God. They understand that God is doing something new in Jesus. They accept Jesus' invitation to follow, to repent of their sin, to turn to a new way of life. They embrace a new relationship with God. By following Jesus, they become righteous. And Jesus says they will enter the kingdom before the religious leaders will. The call to repent, this turning back to God, we find not only in our gospel, but it is echoed also in our first lesson from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel's also calling the people to turn to God, to turn away from their wickedness, from their sin, so that they will live. Ezekiel is prophet at the time the Babylonians destroy Jerusalem and take some of the people into exile. This catastrophe is understood by the people as God's punishment for previous generations' wickedness. In this passage, the people are asking, why is God punishing them for the sins of those who came before them? Through Ezekiel, God tells the people to stop saying this. This is not what God is doing. Instead, God judges each person for their righteousness or for their wickedness. Each person is free to act apart from what their ancestors did. Ezekiel calls the people to turn to God now, to receive a new heart and a new spirit, and assures the people that God does not desire the death of anyone, but instead that all turn to God, that all are recreated, that all find life. God calls the people in Ezekiel's time to stop blaming God for punishing them and to stop blaming past generations for their sins. The people are free and they are responsible for their own actions. They are able to create a new reality in the present that leads them into the future. But doing so requires honestly knowing their history and working for change in the present so the future will be different. The Reverend Claudio Carvales is a theologian and seminary professor, and in an essay on this passage from Ezekiel, he writes this. Sometimes we are very good at blaming somebody else for the errors and mistakes committed in the past, from which we would like to detach ourselves. It would be much easier if we could say, I have nothing to do with the death of Jewish people during Nazism or with slavery in the Americas. This text is a reminder that we must resist this temptation and must take the past into account so that we can create a better life in the present and for the future. Rather than blaming our ancestors for the past or making excuses for the present, we need to be honest. We are called to repent of the ways that we have fallen short of God. We are called to practice metanoia, to turn to a new direction, to a new way of life, to embrace new ways of thinking and acting. And we are called to see the new things that God is doing right now in this time and place, not resting in the status quo, not staying where we are. We are called to build a present that leads to a future that is not bound by the past, but instead is a future that rights the wrongs and injustices of the past. This is, I think, especially true for our nation at this time regarding our sin of white supremacy and systemic racism. This pandemic provides us opportunities to see in new ways, to put a new mindset on, to reestablish our priorities, to seek what matters most. This challenging time is a time to ask what God is calling us to do in this changed world. This pandemic has laid bare the systemic racial oppression that is the legacy of 400 years of chattel slavery, Jim Crow laws, the war on crime and drugs, and mass incarceration of people of color. This pandemic provides an opportunity for us to make long overdue systemic changes. This week, we reached the grim milestone of more than 200,000 dead and more than 7 million people infected with the coronavirus in this country alone. Almost 1 million people have died worldwide. In this reality, we are confronted with the horrific fact that people of color disproportionately become infected and die from this virus. That people of color disproportionately have lost jobs or do paid work that puts them in greater danger of infection. And we saw this week there was palpable anger after the Louisville, Kentucky police officers who killed Breonna Taylor in her own apartment faced no criminal charges related to her murder. This anger spilled into the streets of cities across the country, including in our own city of Providence, as many protested this injustice and call for sweeping systemic change. God calls us this day to choose life and to do so by turning to God and living. In this strange and very challenging time, God invites us to see the new work that God is doing. God calls us to hear God's voice, to understand God's call in new ways, embracing the new opportunities before us, putting on new ways of thinking and being that lead to action in the world. God is calling us to the difficult work of honestly examining our history, learning about our past, learning from our past, so that then God can open our hearts to honest examination and turn us from our sins and failings through repentance, leading us to make amends and work to build a community that is reconciled and restored and recreated. May God create in us a new heart and a new spirit. Repentance, metanoia, conversion of heart are a way of life for those who are Christians, a way of life we are called to live day by day. Living this high calling, the truth is that we will find a life more abundant than we can ever ask or ever imagine. Amen.